Look in the deep freeze. Anybody jumped back. He was getting quite unnerved by all this. He went down a flight of stairs, and on the fourth step down, he took flight. Oh, no, not again, he thought back to his shattering experience before. He was quite relieved to find that he held himself together long enough to reach the bottom of the stairs. Placing his foot on the floor, he heard a loud scream. Yo! Yo! Anybody jumped with surprise. Be careful, a voice scolded him. Of what? He insisted. He was not going to be pushed around so easily this time. Of sore spots, the voice persisted. Anybody did not know what to think of this, so he ignored the voice and went on his way. He reached a door. A sign hung plainly on the door that read, Fool's Entrance. Anybody hesitated for a moment and then, swallowing his pride, which, by the way, did get stuck in his craw, he went in and tried to get back out, but he could find no way to get a handle on the door. It just disappeared. He was floating in a hazy mist. He would get a glimpse of a wagging tongue and hear irritating words. The whole thing, in fact, was a very bitter experience. He ran into a questioning brow, who demanded to know how he had lost face. But anybody could be of no assistance. Anybody decided that nothing of any value could be kept in this room. So he decided he would start from scratch, because nobody knows how many buildings a diary might be in. He saw only one stumbling block between himself and the window. He climbed over it, apologising as he did so. He grasped the windowsill, and to his dismay his head started to swim. He became very dizzy. He thought, if I could just put my finger on what is making all this happen, perhaps I could get my head squarely on my shoulders. With this, he stepped on another sore spot and began to spout obscenities. A few fleeting moments passed by, and if all this were not enough, thorns in his side made matters even worse. Anybody was certainly letting the whole thing get way out of hand. So he scraped himself together and slid out of the window into the street. Anybody fell down with a thump, and his thoughts swirled around him. He considered how easy it would be to just pass out, but the urgency of his mission kept him awake. Slowly he opened his eyes, rose to his feet, and in spite of the fact that his head was still swimming, he moved cautiously down the street. After some fruitless exploring, he came to another high building, but this one had a sign on the front of it that said, Hall of Records. Anybody was taken by this, as he had never heard a sign talk. However, after his initial shock, he entered, figuring if he couldn't find the diary, at least he could learn something the sorceress could use to defend the mountain. As he passed through the front archway, he was taken by an enormous room, the walls of which were lined with huge books. Anybody let his eyes move from wall to wall, volume to volume, reading each title in succession. The Battle of Beliefs, Early Emperors, Family Deaths. Suddenly, anybody's eyes darted across the room and landed on a leather-bound volume laid separate from the rest entitled Particulars. Ah, anybody said to himself, feeling a bit triumphant. This must be information of great significance. Bounding across the room, he caught up with the book and opened it to the first page. It was, of course, blank. He turned to the second page. It was blanker than the first. He turned each succeeding page with a deeper and deeper sense of disappointment, as each page was again and again blank. Finally, in desperation, he screamed, Where are the particulars? Expecting only the echo of his own voice, you can imagine how surprised anybody felt when a voice answered, Why, we are all around you. Anybody did not understand all this, so he decided it was time to take the book and the princess and return to the mountain and the lady. He tucked the diary under his shirt and went to the princess. Anybody told her of his mission, and she agreed to run away with him. But when they reached the walls of the city, soldiers were everywhere, for miles and miles. Nothing but armies upon armies. A small group of officers was just below anybody, and he overheard them while they overlooked him. "We will crush the mountain and the sorceress in 3 days, I say," one soldier boasted. Another retorted, "He'll do it in 2 days, I say, and we won't even have to lift a finger." They all laughed and talked of torture and looting of the mountain. Anybody knew the end was near. Since he did not have time, he was still back on the mountain, he would have to act. But what could he do alone against the master and the mighty armies? He was alone with just the princess, who was looking at the armies and wondering what they would do. Suddenly and unexpectedly, he heard a great wail come up from the centre of the castle. It shook the ground so hard that armies fell to their knees again. "Where's my diary? What thief has defiled my city, my privacy, my diary? Death to anybody who is involved." This quite concerned anybody who thought that for sure he had been discovered. But he had already made up his mind. He would have to face the master anyway, or the mountain would be lost, and it would be too hard for him to lose a mountain. He drew himself up. "Who screams for anybody, screams for me," anybody replied in a loud voice. Anybody handed a diary to the princess and told her that she was to try to bring it to the lady of the mountain if she could do it in time. He turned from her and walked out into the plaza at the main gate. There stood the master of the unknown, hatred burning in his heart, steel gleaming in his eyes, death written all over his face. "So you are a little spy and a thief," the master bellowed. "Can you raise your voice another foot?" anybody requested quickly. This unbalanced the master, who only expected to crush an ant. "Where is it?" the master demanded. His eyes pored over anybody who stood watching him. Anybody was ready for death. His mind was cracking with the strain as the master searched through his thoughts. Anybody could not stand the pressure. "I gave it to the princess. She has it." Anybody could not believe he had divulged the secret. He looked up at the master. The master gazed at him keenly. "Do you think I am such a fool as that? Now where is it really?" Anybody was dumbfounded by this. He had no reply but silence. The master's anger grew. He grabbed anybody and threw him down at his feet. "I know no one would give such a prize to a naive girl. Now where is it?" Anybody realized by listening intently that opportunity was calling. The master would not kill him without learning the location of the diary, and the master would not believe the location of the diary. Anybody began to laugh and laugh. The master struck him silent. The master threw a sly glance at anybody, raising his hands in the air. The sun waned. Day turned to night. Moonlight struck anybody as he stood up, very surprised to find himself in the lady's garden on the mountain. He turned around and around in disbelief. But sure enough, he was there. The sorceress came out of the trees and smiled at him. "You had a close call, but we have saved you, our little warrior." Anybody could still not believe he was saved. "How did I get here?" The lady smiled and turned back to the trees. The sorcerer came out in the moonlight. His robes glistened and his voice reassured anybody. "I could not let you be destroyed, after all you have done in our behalf." Anybody said, "But how did you do it?" The sorcerer replied, "We have many powers even the master of the unknown does not understand." The sorcerer placed his arm on anybody's back, comforting him. "But now, my little friend, before we eat and drink together, you must tell us where the diary is, because time is short." Anybody became somewhat confused by this. His recollection had been that time was quite tall. This suggested a way to test this reality? Anybody replied, how tall is time? The sorcerer looked confused. We do not have time for games. Anybody replied, I do not want to play. I just want to know his height, and I will tell you where. The sorcerer was becoming impatient. Time tall? How tall? Stop this nonsense. War is at hand. The diary! The diary! Anybody began to laugh, but was awakened by Blink, only to find all the wise men of the forest were still discussing his problem. One of the wise men turned to Anybody, who was still shaking off his sleep and dreams. Did you have a nice rest? Anybody was confused, but in the interest of politeness replied, Why, yes, I did. But I had the most peculiar dreams. The wise man turned back to the others. He is awake now. We can begin the inquiry. Anybody asked, What inquiry? The wise man condescendingly replied, You wish to have a solution to your problem. We have agreed to help, but we must have some data. Anybody could understand this, so he agreed to answer any questions they thought might help. The oldest looking of the wise men began. Do you have any personal property? Anybody shook his head. No. Then he remembered. Well, I have my clothes, at least I think they're mine. The old wise man looked at Anybody closely. No rings, books, etc. Anybody had to reply, No. The second wise man asked if he could recall anything of importance at all. Again, Anybody had to reply, No. The next wise man asked him if he remembered anything from his dreams. Anything symbolic, like hiding something that might be a key to his identity. Anybody thought for a moment and then, smiling slightly, he said, There was something. What was that? All the wise men leaned forward, looking expectantly. Anybody also leaned forward, looking at them intently. You're right. There was something I hid, but this is not now. The wise men looked confused at Anybody who was watching them closely. What? They all said in unison. Anybody repeated himself, This is not now, is it? Do you see what I'm saying? The wise men looked up and left. The master of the unknown stood before him. Anybody looked at the master of the unknown, whose anger and desperation had grown by enormous proportions. Anybody inquired of him, Do you really want your diary so badly? The master replied, It is my personal property. I will squash you and skin you and burn you in oil. Anybody was unimpressed. Do you want it badly enough to gamble for it? The master looked at Anybody suspiciously. Gamble? The master said to himself, I will gamble. At what game? Anybody replied, You are supposed to be the wisest man in all the land. In fact, the wisest of all. I will ask you a question. If you answer it, I give you the diary. If you fail, I get my freedom. Will you take an oath by spell on your life? The master was desperate, so he agreed to the gamble and the oath. Anybody looked up at the master, to himself. He stalled for a few moments. The master grew impatient. Let us begin. Ask away. Anybody took a deep breath. savouring the moment and licking his lips. "What is the name that your parents called you as a child?" The master gasped. He was trapped between defeat and death. He murmured, "Ralphie." Anybody screamed in delight. "Ralphie! Ralphie! Ralphie! You're late for dinner! Ralphie! Wash your hands and pick up your room!" Anybody went on and on. The master grew smaller and younger until he was just a little child. Anybody picked him up and took him to the princess to be cared for. Within a few days, the armies were disbanded and sent home to their wives and mothers. All the slaves were freed, and the great wealth of the master city was divided among the poor. Anybody took a small house in a recent oasis in the local desert, married the princess, and used his powers of sorcery to become a great healer of men. Famine and disease were ended for miles around. The Lady of the Mountain gave gifts of plants and herbs to anybody who spent his time roaming around healing the poor and needy, trying to do some small good in a vile world. On his 84th birthday, a messenger arrived at his house in the oasis. A rather withered princess handed a message to anybody. It read, "Your help is urgently needed. Please come to the Northern Kingdom at once." Anybody was too old to travel, and his memory was failing, so he ignored or forgot it. Another message came that he treated the same way. Finally, after a third annoyance, anybody made the journey north, expecting a great plague or massive battle victims. But he found only an over-worried king who begged him, "Please cure my son." Anybody who had, by this time, come to be regarded as the greatest of sorcerers looked down at the bedridden prince and smiled a queer smile. Slowly he began to speak. "My dear king, I do not have to cure your son, the prince, because your son has no problem at all. In fact, there is no prince at all. All this is just a part of a dream someone is having somewhere who does not know he is really dreaming. And a problem in a dream is no problem at all. In fact, this is no real dream at all. This is just a fable. And a fable is just one way to let your imagination run away with you now."